Well, almost a year ago, we had Bob Fletcher on the program talking about Incoming, the only expose of the incoming of Nibiru, his DVD. We're going to talk with Bob in a moment on Coast to Coast and get some updates on Planet X. Stand by. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Let me tell you a little bit about Bob Fletcher, multifaceted entrepreneur, international consultant, manufacturer, merged a small toy manufacturing business in 1985 with a corporation that turned out to be a supplier of weapons for the U.S. intelligence agencies worldwide, involving the highest level of covert operations. Now, this merger placed Bob in a position of becoming a federal witness and led him to permanently becoming an investigative researcher, by the way. His DVD called Incoming, the only expose of the incoming of Nibiru. We're going to get updates from Bob for the next couple hours on this incredible story. Bob, always a pleasure. Welcome back.
Thank you very much, George. It's good to be back and say hi. It's been an interesting ride. It has been about a year, I guess.
Yeah. Let me ask you this then, Bob.
Yes, sir.
How in the world, with all this, did you get involved with the hunt for Nibiru, Planet X?
Well, I wasn't. And normally, I wouldn't normally not even pay attention to that, George. That to me was a kind of a nebulous kind of an unknown thing. It was maybe out there, maybe not, and all the rest of that. And it's kind of a...
Was it like a fun thing for you at the time?
No, not at all. No, I don't have time for fun things. And I'm an old guy now, and I still am up to my keister in pursuing many interesting situations from an investigative side of things. I should be just retired and not doing any of it. But no, what happened was someone approached me and asked me a few years ago now, going back maybe 3-4 years, somebody came and said, we have this extraordinary amount of money disappearing out of government funding of a large sorts. Now we're not just talking multi-millions, which I was used to tracking down, so to speak, where you had a congressman who wanted to build a home illegitimately with stolen funds one way or another in Tahiti for his summer holidays, and chasing that type of thing was rather regular. But this was billions, and then it ended up being trillions with a T, vanishing out of a variety of covert funding, military contracts, and things of that sort. And it was extraordinary money. The drug smuggling, which covertly has yielded huge amounts of money for criminal persons in our own government at the highest level for many years, that was like peanuts compared to the money that was disappearing. So I had been asked, would you kind of just look into it? I said, look, I'm not doing this like I used to do it many years ago, and I don't have the contacts as much like I used to have at the highest levels, CIA people and the Pentagon and et cetera.
Hold on for a second, Bob. We're at the break. We'll come back and find out how you got involved in the search for Planet X. Planet X, Nibiru. You've heard us talk about it before. We'll be talking with Bob Fletcher about it again when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. George Norrie back with you on Coast to Coast with Bob Fletcher as we talk about Nibiru. We're talking about Incoming, the only expose of the incoming of Nibiru. So, Bob, let's get back to how you found out about Nibiru in the first place. I mean, were you listening to Coast? What happened?
No, as a matter of fact, and I know you had talked about it many years ago. You were probably the first talk radio program that had the nerve or was nutty enough, whichever is the right term, but to talk about you actually got into it many years ago. Am I
yes,
correct
we did. Yeah, our show did with Art. We started talking about it. I started talking about it about 13 to 15 years ago, and we've never stopped.
Right, and I, like I said, I had no interest in it. And it was kind of like so far out for me commonly, I wouldn't even have looked at it. But what happened, as I said, I had been at somebody, actually a couple of people, and they had asked me, hey, you know, can you kind of just quietly snoop around and try to figure out where this gigantic amounts of money was going, besides the fact that all the gold was gone from Fort Knox, and there's no question about that. That does not exist. It's gone already. And that I would include in the vanished money related, interfaced with the incoming of Nibiru. So I said, anyhow, I said yes, and I started looking at it. And originally I couldn't figure it out. I was getting bits and pieces from a lot of directions. And then finally somebody said something about, what happened was it directed me. I ended up realizing and discovering in depth something I had looked at a little bit in 1995 period of time, and that was the underground facilities. And then the realization that every nation in the world was building underground facilities, big ones and in large quantities, and filling them with immediate use survival foods. And what I mean by that is they were filling it up with a mandate to pretty much have all these underground, I call them hideouts, created for the a limited few elite. You can't put everybody underground, so obviously those persons at the highest levels of what I would call the New World Order, One World, New World Order right. people. I realized how many there was, how many nations were involved with putting them in underground, filling them with the survival foods with a mandate to have them ready and filled, like at the beginning of this last year, as of about a year or two ago, they were to have all of these 20, 30-year survival foods already in place in the underground facilities. And then I found out how big they were and how many there were, et cetera. And so the next question that had to be answered was, what is going on where all of a sudden, over a period of 10, 15, actually it was goes back about 20 years when they really started doing it seriously in the 83, 85 period of time, which coincidentally was when I was involved with the Iran-Contra inquiries in 87. And from that period of time was when things changed radically in terms of the space programs, the funding, how much money was going where and where it was going, and how many covert secret black operations were having large amounts funded, but then it was disappearing before it was even being applied to what it was theoretically going to go towards. And I had to answer the question, what is it that would take these people who at the very highest level pretty much are pulling off like you, one of your advertisements, one of your little advertising just mentioned the coup de grace of the United States of America, which is what we have witnessed, and we are literally in the middle of a full coup de grace with these one world government people. And what would it be that would scare them, influence them so much that they would drop all of the money that they've been stealing for their own pockets and shift gears to where they were all going underground like gophers?
To protect themselves, of course, right?
What would it be? It would have to be something extraordinary. And again, it was global. Every single major nation in the world is building these underground facilities, and ended up coming back to only one possible thing, and that was Nibiru Planet X, something that I knew very little about, and so I had to become a quick student over a period of a year and a half, and finding out everything I had to find out about it. Well, when were they expecting it? When had it started? When was it that they pretty much somebody had made the report into probably it appeared to have been Ronald Reagan, according to information that I had gotten, in approximately 1983, when they had put up the largest infrared telescope into the farthest reaches of our solar system. And that was in about 1983 when they launched that. They put it out, and apparently, to the surprise of the bad guys, they came back running into the White House and said, uh-oh, guess what? That Planet X that people have been making fun of for 100 years with everybody that ever brought it up and calling them, you know, conspiracy nuts and astronomical wannabes and what have you, that thing existed and it is on its way back in. And at that point in time was when they started shifting on their manner of criminality, stealing for themselves and kind of shifting gears to stealing for the potential salvation and survival of their families and their people necessary to control and take over things when and this event was to take place.
Without letting us know about it, obviously.
Absolutely. And the bottom line is, unfortunately, that if you have something of this sort headed back in, and it's so well documented in ancient history and biblical documentation and what have you globally for many, many years, that this is a reality, and it is a large planet-type object with a couple of moons, maybe four or five moons, and it is in this huge elliptical kind of an orbit, and then it comes back around, and then, of course, there's a question as to whether it's 350-year or a 3,500-year cycle, and that may just be in a misunderstanding or misinterpretation of the application use of the figure zero. And obviously, if you just take 10 off the end of 3,500, it is now 350. So there is kind of a debate on all of that. But the bottom line is, apparently it is out there. It is on the way back in. And again, of course, you have, you know, the big question of everybody wants to know when. Does anybody know exactly when it's going to come back and all of that? And that, of course, is the problem. But I went ahead with the information from so many directions and so many people far more schooled on the astronomical side of this than I was. But I mixed that with my knowledge and friends and contact relative to government and military, et cetera, over the last 30 years of being involved with those things directly myself, putting together investigations and what have you. I put it all together, and I went out on a limb and put together this large presentation. It's a four-hour double DVD presentation with the intent of answering almost every question that I had people asking me over the last couple of years before I had put together the DVD expose. And I covered the religious aspects, where there's involvement of the Vatican and how far that goes back and what their involvement was, which even includes the creation of that large telescopic installation that they put in, owned by the Vatican, but it's in Arizona, and it's called Lucifer.
Yeah, bizarre astronomical telescope system.
Right, and basically it's an infrared system. The big deal with, apparently, with the Nibiru, it doesn't generate any light of its own, and it's no place most of the time where it's going to reflect any light, where it's not close enough to where you can look up and see it coming in, you know, this afternoon. When that point does come and that does arrive, we will see it. And that fits into other strange events when people recently have been questioning why, and this goes back, my first knowledge of what I'm about to tell you goes back to 95 period of time, when I found out that the government was supplying military-type equipment to all the police and sheriff departments all over the United States. And it was kind of like real overkill in some situations, with armored cars and grenade launchers and full automatic 50-caliber machine guns and that type of equipment going into, let's say, a small sheriff's department in Omaha, Nebraska, you know, things of that sort, which is kind of like really overkill. And, of course, when they rolled some of those out into the black communities a year or so back with some of the police shootings of people, and when the citizens all of a sudden they said, whoa, what is that? And they were coming down the streets with the armored cars and that type of equipment that was, again, talked about as kind of overkill.
Bob, how influential was the works of the late Zechariah Sitchin with his work on Nibiru and the Anunnaki and the such?
Well, this is, and for the people that are not aware, Zechariah Sitchin was an archaeologist and actually a linguistist, a linguist, I guess I know what the word is. All right.
An expert on antiquity.
Yes, and an expert in antiquities with the ability to decipher ancient dialects and writings of ancient civilizations. And he had crossed the path looking at thousands of clay tablets that were originally from Sumeria, and they were like 4,000-year-old, 2,000, 3,000-old writings, like a diary of the people in Sumeria back a few thousand years ago, and it was the story of Nibiru passing through close enough into our near Earth on one of its passages, and where people theoretically coming off of what he was deciphering were living on one of the planets that pulls around and is traveling, one of the moons, I guess, traveling with Nibiru, and that they had landed on Earth. They were mining the gold, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, at that point, they were not much more than pretty low-level intellect on human beings on Earth at that time. I think all of those people later went into government in Washington. But the people apparently were kind of turned into slaves, and they took the gold, et cetera, et cetera. But it's a very complex, interesting story. And Zechariah Sitchin put together several books talking and describing the Anunnaki, that theoretically were the original people that had come down and had crossbred with some of the people on Earth and all that.
And his detractors, though, Bob, really came after him.
Oh, well, you know, the first off, you have the big problem with his information was a religious thing. You know, the problem is all of a sudden it took all the basic Christian concepts and the biblical stories and kind of, mixed them up. I mean, what are we talking about? These people came down from a planet, and they were the ones that were involved, and Anunnaki was the word Adam came from their dialogue as being the first man and all the rest of that with the Adam and Eve story.
Yep.
But it just banged heads with the Christian communities and a lot of religions. So that was his first problem. And then, of course, the second problem is people are just scared to death of anything that they don't understand, and that thing of if I can't see it myself, I don't believe it kind of a concept. But anyhow, he was, of course, very important, but in the study and bringing the story that, and here's where it gets back to the Nibiru, the story was that it comes around every 3,000 years.
3,600 years, actually.
Right. 3,600 is what he had analyzed and deciphered, and it comes up. It comes around the sun just like any other, even like a meteor that would come around and go around the sun and then go back out on an orbit, such as the comets that what's the word I'm trying to think of? I'm using the wrong terminology here, but anyhow, the idea was that it was just on this huge orbital plane, and it comes around, passes through, and when it goes between the sun and the earth. It, of course, causes an extraordinary solar eclipse for a long period of time.
I mean, they think it even caused the flood of Noah.
Absolutely.
And so many other things.
Yeah, and the reason, and all of the effects of this, the bottom line is it's supposedly 10 times the size, and then of course there's all these other different analogies, but 10 times the size of Earth in physical mass and size, and with it passing, not going to hit Earth, but it passes and causes an eclipse situation. The gravitational effect was such that it yanked the waters right out of the seabeds and caused the Noah's flood, as you mentioned. And then, of course, in our case now, it would probably cause the elimination of the proper functioning of all of our electronics because we're so dependent on that. We would have electromagnetic impulses and the failure of our satellites because of the close passage. Now, additionally, what happens as this goes around, we are going around on our small 365-day orbit for our annual full cycle around the sun. And what will take place is when this comes in like a comet, like Halley's Comet,
mm-hmm.
all right, when it comes in, it's going to be dragging millions of miles of space junk and debris, not even counting the basic four or five moons that they're...
little asteroids, everything.
So what we would have is it will come past, we will go through it, through the tail of this thing, which will take not too long, but we will go through the tail, and at that point we will be going through a meteor storm like a biblical meteor storm, which again is described in the Bible in several places where the fire and brimstone struck on the ground and killing 100,000 or 10,000 soldiers in a single hour and all that type of problem, being described the best they could in biblical terminology. But it is described, and it even in Revelations, the amount of descriptions in Revelations related to this period of time is kind of scary, but it is all in the Bible.
Bob, next hour we'll talk more about your work incoming, the only expose of the incoming of Nibiru, plus we'll take some of your calls on Coast to Coast AM.
Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
And welcome back to Coast with our guest Bob Fletcher this hour. We'll take some of your calls and continue talking with him about Nibiru and what he faces. He's also got a new project called Nibiru. We'll talk about that too and what it all means on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, our final hour here with Bob Fletcher. Lots to talk with him about. We'll get your calls in here as well. Incoming, the only expose of the incoming of Nibiru. Bob, are you convinced this is happening, of course, and when do you think it could happen? Are we in that 3,600-year cycle right now?
Well, excuse me. Yes, it appears the best. What I tried to do is tap into some of the several groups and individuals that have really been studying this for years and years, have spent it a lifetime either as a vocation or as an advocation, as a hobby or as their business in astronomy. And the consensus of opinion is that, yeah, we are in that potential cycle of the return of Nibiru passing close by. And again, of course, because of what I had discovered, there's multiple things that, like the underground facilities and the survival foods by the millions of tons going into these underground facilities for use, as if the persons that would know before we do, in reality, are planning to use it. They're not planning to put this stuff in there for use 10, 20, 30 years away. They're talking about within a short period of time. All of the biblical writings and the scholastic, from actually writings on the wall, so to speak, and quite literally those terms, back down to ancient documentation in biblical and also writings in China and the Tibetan monks on top of the hills, et cetera, they all come up with sort of like the same dates. And it appears that this had passed usually around this time, right now. In other words, in March and April, like in the period of what in religious terminology would be said to be the time of Passover, and that it was originally first seen like in December or January of that previous year, and then 3 to 4 months later it would be slowly getting bigger and larger in view, and then it would pass around and cause all of the grief that it had on the earth each time it had come around. So the feeling of so many of those that have really studied this that part of this thing more than I have is that it's anticipated this year, which apparently it is not going to happen, as in this March, and if not, then we probably have a breather until next March or the following March. Mm-hmm. Anticipation literally is within a 5-year period or 6-year period.
We're the amateur astronomers, Bob, who would spot this before we get told about it by government, at all.
Well, here is the problem. When I started mentioning, I mentioned it briefly about the weapons going into all the police and sheriff's departments, et cetera,
right,
for so many years, and people couldn't figure out, what is the deal with that? Because it's all over the country, and it's ridiculous amounts of, and also the purchases in the last 2 years of extraordinary weapons.
And ammunition, too.
Ammunitions and weapons going under the banner, of course, of Homeland Security, but additionally Internal Revenue Service, the Forestry Service, and all these miscellaneous services that commonly don't need machine guns and hollow point bullets to kill people. So that's part of it also, is the multi-millions of that's been purchased and brought in and hidden away in a variety of locations. Now you say, okay, here's where the connection is on that. The connection being that we are never going to be told by our government that this thing is on its way in. They are never going to warn us about it, period. And if they can figure out how to divert us from people looking at my DVDs, for one example, but also anybody else where they can, there's been an awful lot of skilled astronomers that have died over the last 10 years that had reached a point where they were going to come forward and talk about the Planet X and say, hey, we think it's coming, or we know where it is, or we can zero it in, or something of that sort, even though it's not visible yet at all. An awful lot of those guys had died accidentally and taken early deaths by all sorts of kind of like the Kennedy murders, that sort of thing. from dying from all sorts of different points, reasons. But here's the point on the weapons. The government is going to have to initiate martial law a few months before 100,000 amateurs start to see it in the sky, all right? As soon as that happens around the globe, it's going to spread like hotcakes. So here's the problem that government leaders, good guys or bad guys, and we don't have too many good guys any longer, unfortunately, they are stuck with, what do we do? How do we handle these people? We want to have full control of the citizens before they find out this thing is potentially coming back. Because the whole globe, see, it's not even just America. The whole globe is going to go really over the edge. They're going to really go crazy on the concept of some kind of an astronomical event, a calamity that may not be able to even be stopped. All right? So they can't tell the people. They can't say, hey, next March, between the 15th and the 26th, the chances of this thing coming in is real likely, you know, so have a nice Easter. They're not going to be able to do that. So how do they do martial law, and how do they do the control? That's where the weapons come in all over the country in these police and sheriff's departments. And part of their deal on getting them, let's say, troop carriers with water cannons and machine guns and grenade launchers and things of that sort that have been put into sheriffs and police departments around the country, they can't even afford them. But these guys love the idea of having that equipment. So the deal was that the government would say, look, you can have, here's what's available next month, A, B, C, and D, and 2,000 of this, and this kind of equipment, and that kind of equipment, and all the bullets to go with it, et cetera. And we'll help you finance it, or we'll figure out a way to donate it to you on, you know, half value, et cetera, et cetera.
Bob, I've got a million questions for you, but I want to give some of our listeners an opportunity to chat with you, too. So let's go to Linda, first of all, in the state of Washington, west of the Rockies. Hello, Linda.
Hello, George.
Good to have you with us.
Thank you. And thank you for all the valuable information you're providing us with.
We'll never stop.
All your knowledgeable guests. It's really important.
Thank you.
And Mr. Fletcher, you just answered my question. I thought, why do they need all these weapons against us domestically if they're all going to go underground and let us be taken out by space debris? But you answered my question. But I do have something else I'm wondering about, and that's the Shemitah. If we're in the Shemitah year,
we are,
and supposedly the culmination is going to be that event.
The Jewish Shemitah, Bob, I don't know if you followed it or not, but we're in it right now, and it's supposed to be a moment of upheaval for us. The prediction was supposed to have been in September. Hasn't happened yet, but who knows?
Well, you know, I don't know a lot about that, but I do know a little bit about it. And there's also there's a multitude, which we don't have the time to cover everything, even to come close to it this evening. But there's a multitude of events like these that are all fitting into the same time frame in all different religions and documentation of ancient religions and coverage and stories of how things have happened that will happen again that all fit into this. And to kind of complete this lady's question or the concern about the weapons, here's the deal. They want to have martial law declared at least a few months before it becomes internationally a known event. Something is in the sky, and it's getting bigger every week as it comes closer on its return around the sun. It's orbital run around the sun and then back out again, which, by the way, will take 150 to 155 days for it to pass behind and then come back on the other side. we will pass through the astronomical meteorites and comets and junk, all of that. We will go through that tail two times. So there will be two periods of time during that 150 or between 155 days of us going through all that mess, where we're talking about fires and big pieces hitting in the oceans, causing tidal waves and tsunamis and that type of thing. Besides the fact that it will affect earthquakes and volcanoes, which, by the way, I predicted, George, and I, you know, when you predict stuff, you're really a dummy, because you're going to either, you know, the people that think you're right on with it, they're not never going to say anything. But if you are wrong, well, then you become the community idiot, right? But I predicted a few specific things that absolutely have already started to happen, and that's in the DVD that I did over a year ago. I said that the weather is going to be completely out of control, and that's exactly what has happened. We have broken records almost every week around the globe with unusual weather. The weather patterns will not be back again for a long time, as this thing slowly is causing an effect as it returns closer to go around the sun. And even though you're not seeing it yet, and by the way, I want to mention also that recent discovery that was talked about so much, everybody said, oh, gee, astronomers have actually maybe seen this thing. That's a false flag. And you go ahead and finish up with our caller if you want to, and then I want to also mention that false flag.
No, go ahead. Mention the flag, because we've got lots of callers, and we'll get them all after the half if we have to.
All right. The these two folks came forward as astronomers and got an awful lot of attention a little while back. They said, we have found what may be Planet X. And the coverage of that was right away distorted, because everybody started reporting, quote-unquote, that they have seen this, that they have physically found or located this this potential Planet X way out past Pluto. All right? They have not seen it at all. The one they're referring to, they did a computer projection and an analysis, an analogy of what it might be, and if it is, here's where it would be, and because it's affecting other things, we're pretty sure here's how big it is, and they gave the size and all the rest of that. But here's where the false flag came in with that. This was the only announcement of a potential Planet X that got CBS News, NBC, ABC, CNN, everybody, all the newspapers, everybody covered it. Because what it was included with the press release was that this was so far away that it's probably thousands or a minimum of 1 or 2,000 years before it will be close enough to affect us. That's where the false flag comes in. Uh-huh. This is exactly what the government would release, and maybe they did. That's exactly what they were trying to say, or what they did say was, this might be it. It looks like it might be it, but everybody can just go back to sleep because it's not going to be here for 1,000 years. So that's the part that everybody overlooked, and that's what constitutes it being a situation where somebody of a high-level power control situation has fed that story, and that there are a lot of planets out that are being discovered now, literally over 1,000, as a matter of fact, in the last 2 years, that are of an infrared category that can't be seen readily or easily and potentially are of all these different sizes and that fit the category. But when you start talking about something that's 1,000 years away, that's not the one that Sitchin was talking about, and it's not the one that I'm concerned with, because these guys, the bad guys, wouldn't be putting survival foods in and getting prepared for martial law in one manner or another if they thought it was not coming for 1,000 years. So that's a red herring, so to speak.
Sure is. Let's go to Norm in St. Louis now. Hi, Norm. Go ahead.
Hey, how are you guys doing tonight?
Good, Norm. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I just had a couple quick comments. I pretty much study my end times Bible prophecy and whatnot for years now. So does your guest connect the dots with the Nibiru as possibly the Wormwood? And as far as the people going underground, I know about Mount Weather. It's like a $40 billion underground bunker and whatnot and all the other ones. Would he connect the dots there with the scripture that says the sun will scorch men and they'll hide in caves and curse God and still not repent of their sins? And pretty much that's, I'll take my
sure
answer
thing.
Also.
Yeah, so the Bible, of course, in the book of Revelation, Bob, talks about wormwood, this object that's approaching, which kind of is the sign of the apocalypse, of end times. Sure sounds like Planet X to me.
Well, yeah, there's no question about it. But besides that, and I also have all of those, I addressed all the religious questions and tried to answer and show those things that genuinely look like they had anything to do with this. We include that in the DVDs that we put together that folks can get. I tried to cover all of the political, the financial, and the connecting the dots. It really got, it blew me away once I got into it, because I was very skeptical and laid back on this. Like I said, just looking for money originally. And when this gentleman says he's aware of the underground facilities, the question is, there's 103 of them in the United States. They are connected underground by, not all of them, but a good handful of them, by a complete underground railroad, a mag-levitated railroad system that runs like 300, 400 miles an hour on a levitated track. We have interfacing highways where 18-wheelers, and by the way, I even have some photographs of this in my website at bobfletcherinvestigations.com. We have some really good pictures of some of these random things I'm talking about, but they're in-depth, including live footage underground in some of the facilities. You know, these facilities are not local Kmart stores. These are, some of them are the size of a small town.
Jeez.
Underground.
Amazing. Hold on, Bob. We're coming back for final questions and more chat about Nibiru in a moment. And I'll be back in a moment with your final calls and more with Bob Fletcher as we talk about his work on Nibiru. It's called Incoming. It's a DVD. Back in a moment. Welcome back, Bob Fletcher, with us, of course. And, of course, we'll get to your calls in a second. So, Bob, what's the new project you're working on?
As a matter of fact, I don't want to get the cart before the horse, but I am working on one. It is a follow-up, or started out to be a follow-up, on the Nibiru situation looking at the potential activities with the possibility of interrupting it or stopping it or changing its direction. And this has turned out to be a very scary, frightening DVD, almost more of a concern than the actual Incoming itself of the Planet X. I won't go any farther than that because I don't want to, again, put the cart before the horse on this situation, because I don't want people to be asking me to get on a list or anything like that for the new one until we physically announce it. I will let you know as soon as it's done and see that you get a copy up there for you guys.
Okay.
But I don't want to go any farther than that again, but I will say that this will be the most amazing expose that I've ever done, and I've done about 12 pretty serious investigations. So that's as far as I really want to go with that at this point. I don't want to get ahead of myself, so to speak.
But you don't have any doubts at all that this object is getting close and it's going to wreak havoc on the planet.
I do not. And as a matter of fact, to add to what I mentioned briefly, some of the predictions like on the weather and all of that, and the increase in volcanic activity, the increase in earthquakes, all of that has happened. But additionally, something that's being kept really rather quiet, that I discovered and put into the DVD there a year ago, and that is that all of the planets in our solar system are being affected by something. And here's what we're talking about. The ice caps on Mars are melting the same as the ice caps on Earth are, rapidly melting, more than they ever have previously. The atmosphere, those that have atmospheres, are all changing. The temperature and chemical content on the surface of the planets are all being affected. Their orbits have a variety of little, let's say, wiggles and moves and bumps that they didn't used to have. And even the moon, that never had any kind of a surface atmosphere, is developing an atmosphere. And it's mostly, apparently, an atmosphere of an atmosphere of salt floating in the air. But it is something that's new. All the planets are being affected, and it started way out, not closer in, like you would think. Well, it's something from the sun, because of all the holes in the sun and the extraordinary solar flares and things of that sort. It didn't start from the center. It started out in the outskirts and came in with these variety of affected changes on the planets. So, and nobody knows what's causing it. Of course, they certainly are not going to say anything when they did know. Like I said, they want to be underground before they let anybody know about it, you know, before people finally figure out what's happening. Now, people ask me, how would they do martial law? All right, it will be one of a few things, and actually, in the last year, since I first put together and finally put this together for my the double DVD with all of the information on this thing, the realization that they would use in their own writings, they say anything like this has to be something like martial law, has to be something that would scare the citizens for their own lives. In other words, fear of death. And what we're talking about in terms of what would be used would be either a World War III hanging over our head, the potential of that.
A false flag of a UFO attack.
It can be a false flag. It can be a false flag of UFO alien situation, which would not be difficult because we now have space planes that will blow the average citizen right off of their chair ourselves. So that would be easy to do. But the other would be either here's the one that's most likely, and that is two or three extraordinary terrorist events in the United States of America, maybe even one or two with the equivalent of the World Trade Center, the Twin Towers in 2001, 9/11, which was completely a false flag carried out by Americans. A lot of people don't like to hear that, but that's a fact. Any one of those three, and it's going to be real easy. They have to have the American people's mindset such that when they declare it, people will not question it. They will already have been scared so badly. It could be with a chemical or a biological also, either one of those. But it's only going to be one of those three or four. I put that in the DVDs over a year and a half ago when I was producing it, and I stand on that because as we look today, just on the average news forecast, on a daily basis, all of those things that I've just brought up that are in the DVD are realities that could happen tomorrow. The North Koreans, they're completely off. You know, they're in Never Never Land. I don't know what's going on with those people. They scare me to death.
They're insane. They're insane. Let's take some final calls here for you, Bob, if we can. Let's go to Cliff in Bristol, Tennessee. Cliff, go ahead. You're on with us.
Hey, guys. Great show.
Thank you.
I'm going to go outside our solar system just for a minute. That's okay.
All right.
great information, by the way. Bob, have you heard of these gravitational waves they've discovered?
Well,
Oh, yeah, that came out a few weeks ago.
Right, right.
Yes, it did. Okay, I think most people, I mean, you consider our solar system, it's a tiny speck, and you look at our galaxy is just a tiny speck among many, many billions of galaxies. Now, do you think, let me ask you, what's your opinion on the gravitational waves? It's about time and space. And, I mean, there's no way in this day and time that our technology, we could go and visit our galaxy. But what do you think about gravitational waves and possibly visiting other galaxies, you know, within hours?
Well, that's going to happen eventually. Bob, you want to take a jump at that?
Well, you know, there's, first off, when I got into this, again, it was not even a hobby, astronomy for me. That was a part of this whole inquiry that I ended up doing. You know, it's this multitude of things, military, political, sociological, it's a whole mess, as it turned out, so many things involved. But there are so many galaxies, and there are so many planets that can and do and will find out that has life on it. That there's so much of that, and there's so much science that is brand new science. And our government has been fooling around with some of this new science, and some of that's going to be part of the new DVD when we get finished. But it's there's so much of it that it just boggles the mind, and to try to zero in on things or do a close analysis on some of the new things they're discovering, it's over most of our heads, to be honest, and it's over the heads of most of the scientists. Astronomers and scientists have no idea what's going on with our planets doing all the crazy stuff they're doing, and the ones that do know are not allowed to talk about it or they will disappear. So we're only going to get what they want to tell us, and they don't want to tell us a damn thing.
No, they sure don't. Ed in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Ed, it's your turn. Go ahead.
George, appreciate you taking my call.
Sure
and
thing.
Listen, this other gentleman kind of passed on the same thing I was going to say, but the book of Revelation in the King James Bible, chapter 8, talks about wormwood, a star that's going to collide with the earth, and, of course, that's one of the judgments poured out on the earth during the tribulation period. Now, what you guys are doing basically is confirming to me that the tribulation period is very, very, very close.
Oh, absolutely, sir. And all of that's covered inch by inch in the DVDs also, the incoming DVD. All of that's covered as well. I really tried to handle as much of that as we could. That's why it's so long. It actually is two discs. And it's a four-hour presentation. You got to do it on two different nights or you'll go crazy. It's so much information. It's like a library on a couple of discs. And by the way, I wanted to give some of our friends that are not computer-oriented, I want to give a mailing address. Anybody that wants to get a copy of my catalog, which, of course, is all on my website. But if you want to, you can drop me a note to Bob Fletcher at Post Office Box 216, Bayview, Idaho, 83803. That's 216, Bayview, Idaho, 83803. If you want to order the DVD or get a list from us, use that address for you guys that don't want to get involved with the computer website.
Bob, as we look at these possibilities, why the secrecy? Because of panic or because of selfish, greedy reasons?
Well, it's both. Because they want to, they have to, particularly from their view, their thing is to maintain control up until the point in time where they themselves are going to jump into the holes underground and cross their fingers, because they really don't know what's going to happen when they come out. They don't know how long they even have to be under, you know, so that's interesting. The developments on other planets, potentially on two other planets as we are talking, we potentially may actually have two entire developments on other planets at this time. How far they are with that, I'm not positive. But the idea that we're not there already, I think we're fooling ourselves. I had found out 20 years ago, and I've been doing this for 30 years, so I found out 20 years ago that when they talk about a project that's on the drawing board, they're looking forward to, let's say, 5, 6, 8, or 10 years up the road. That means usually that they've already are about 5 or 8 years finished with a project. They are already that far. And as you may know, I guess, the first supplies to be delivered to Mars is supposed to take place in 2018. I believe if we are still here in 2018, that by that time it will be about supply run 110. I believe we are already on two other planets as we speak tonight.
There are other people who believe that too, Bob, as far-fetched as it sounds. Let's go to Linda in Salinas, California now. Hello, Linda, go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I just wanted to talk about a dream I had last year. It was around April 15th. And in my dream, it was a weird dream, and I was telling someone there's going to be a big earthquake, and every piece of land is going to move. And I was telling someone in my dream, well, that prediction, you know what I mean, like a prophecy. And the coincidence, too, is that that person's birthday is also around April 15th. So I was just wondering if it was connected.
Well, we really don't know. I mean, this would cause earthquakes, too, Bob, would it not?
You're talking about what causing it? I'm sorry, I couldn't.
Nibiru would cause earthquakes, would it not?
Yeah, it's already having an effect, and the potential of what's going on now with the increases in Earth movement and the crust and volcanoes. You know, we had the Aleutian Islands up there in Alaska. One of the big old volcanoes blew its top 2 days ago. We had like 47, 48 volcanic activities on a regular basis every day. And people are just, you know, it's kind of like there. You can go on the computer and keep track of it yourself. But all of that, I believe our sun, the holes in the sun that they are now trying to, they don't know what's going on with that, giant holes that come and go on the surface of the sun.
Oh, there's a big one there now.
That's right. And they don't know let me put it this way. They're not telling us if they do know. I think all of it is related to an intruder coming in, Nibiru, coming in and making the approach to do its thing. And, you know, it's like the bathtub. If you drop a full bathtub and you drop a golf ball in it way out on one side, eventually the ripple is going to go through the whole bathtub and back again. And that's the way the solar system is that we live in. It's like the human body. It's interconnected. A small activity way out someplace, even though it may not look like a big activity, is affecting our sun, which is affecting our gravity, which is affecting the quakes. The quakes and the earthquakes and volcanoes have been directly connected with small groups of earthquakes in one place. Ends up in 2 or 3 weeks, we'll have a volcanic activity someplace that crisscrosses the quakes. So it's all one big, one big bathtub. You drop something in it at one end, as ripples are going to go all over the bathtub, and that's what's happening to our solar system.
Aaron in Massachusetts, let's get you in here. Aaron, go ahead.
Hi, good evening, gentlemen.
Hi.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a statement about the Shemitah, and actually it probably more falls in line with the Book of Revelation. Just the total chaos that's going on around the world. You've got all the stuff going on in the Middle East. The Russians, they're over there now. Got the Ukrainian issues, Africa. Everything is in a state of confusion or flux. And there seems to be a dumbing down, at least in America here. I don't know how to put my finger on it. Maybe you just alluded to gravitational pulls, seismic activity, all of these issues, I think, as you stated earlier, are kind of tied in. But I try to tell a lot of my friends, if you open up the book of Revelation and decipher it, it has most of the answers there.
Well, I think you're right. They're there. You just have to interpret them. Bob, we're rapidly running out of time, and would you give your website, even though we've got the link for you at coasttocoastam.com, and again, the DVD. Go ahead.
Sure. It's just Bob Fletcher Investigations.com. And again, you can write me. That address is also on there, but at Post Office Box 216, Bayview, Idaho, 83803. Drop me a note if you want a copy of our little catalog. We've got about 10 exposés that are available to everybody. Most all of them are pretty upsetting because they're, showing us how criminal our government has been for so long. You know, and people ask me what to do. You can't alter your life for this thing. Don't be hanging around waiting for this thing to take place. You got to keep doing what you're doing
and have a lot of faith, Bob, and some preparation, too. Bob, thank you so much for returning back to Coast to Coast. Next up, we're going time traveling.
Power Talk, 96.7 and AM 1400, an iHeart radio station.
This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.